This is the Uptick Network Stock Day Podcast, sponsored by InvestorsHangout.com. Penny stock news and interviews from the microcap world. Public information on OTC, pink sheets, and microcap stocks from around the world. With your host, Everett Jolly.
This is Jason Blair reporting on behalf of Everett Jolly, who is on vacation this week. Today, we have a very special guest of Jerry Flum. He is the CEO for CreditRiskMonitor.com. They trade under the ticker symbol CRMZ on the OTCQX. Jerry, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Jason. It's a pleasure to be here.
Jerry, tell us a little bit about yourself and how you got into the Credit Risk Monitor company.
Okay. Well, first of all, I'm an old geezer. I'm going to be 76 on my next birthday, and I started in the investment business in 1968, so I've been around a long time and in the process of run a hedge fund since 1972. And part of my the way we run our hedge fund was to buy into small companies and hold them for 10, 15, or 20 years. We are today only one investment now in the hedge fund since we're all old guys now, and it's a company that I manage. We take part in and actively manage the companies that we get involved in. And I am the CEO of Credit Risk Monitor and have been since 1999. Credit Risk Monitor, in a shorthand expression, competes with Dun & Bradstreet. In other words, we do corporate credit analysis. We do not do any analysis of people. In other words, we don't look at the credit ratings of individual people. We only look at corporations. And people pay us or subscribe to our service are the largest corporations in the world who are looking at each other and trying to make a determination of whether the people they sell to will pay them, which is the number one deal, and number two deal is if they do pay them, will they pay them in a timely manner? And so we assess that. We are following in detail 50,000 public companies around the world, and we are rating them and scoring them and issuing and sending out all this data to our subscriber base on a daily basis. And so we have a kind of unique look at what is going on in corporations around the world. And in doing that, we also have a view of that we are looking at companies against the context of what's going on in the world. In other words, world events dramatically influence the ability of corporations to sell and to remain profitable. And the first thing that I would like everybody to understand is that we believe very, very strongly that we are in something called a debt and credit crisis. And what that really means is that the amount of debt, and I mean total debt, I mean government, I mean personal debt, and I mean corporate debt, is as a percentage of the gross national product, is now at the highest levels. It's been much higher than 2008 in an absolute basis all over the world. And at a certain point in life, you get so much debt that you can't pay it off. And what goes on is momentary aberrational behavior or policy to allow you to keep the game going until it overwhelms you. And I believe that that's what's going on in the world today. And so it's against that context that people should be thinking about how they invest and precisely what kind of investments they're investing in. I think it's very, very important for every equity investor to have some part of their portfolio in very counter-cyclical investments. Those companies that will do well if the economies of the world or the particular country that they're competing in do not do well. And that's a very important ingredient. And I believe that credit analysis and what we do for these large corporations all over the world is a very counter-cyclical business. But we've done more than that in our company. In our company, we have zero debt. We've paid off every ounce of debt. We have cash equal to about 80 or 90% of sales. We have reoccurring streams of income because we are a subscription business. But our clientele is the largest corporations around the world. Roughly between 35 to 40% of the Fortune 1000 are part of our subscriber base, along with another 1,000 of the largest companies around the world, all looking at each other and looking at everybody they're selling to, which are a good deal from our public companies, to understand the risks involved in selling to those companies and the risk involved in getting paid by those companies. So that's our company. I think it's something that everybody out there should take a look at. We have something called the FRISS score, which we developed, and it predicts, and we have white papers on our site, and we have all kinds of data for people to read. It predicts the probability of bankruptcy over the next 12 months.
Well, Jerry, what goes into that FRISS score exactly?
What goes into that FRISS score are various factors, such as we have special ratios that we review and we look at over time. It includes, we have access on our site and make available to our subscriber base all the rating agencies. It also is a part Merton model, which involves the market cap of companies. The volatility of that market cap tells you a lot about the credit risks and default risks at that company. So it's those combinations which we monitor on all these changes. And every single night we review all 50,000 companies. And we change our scores if necessary. So it's very up to date, and it's extraordinarily predictive. We have available on our site something called the FRISS Risk Index, where we take all these FRISS scores, and not only do we do them on individual companies, but we aggregate them for industries, SIC codes, for countries. And you can take an industry and a country and combine it, and it's all available for free. If you go up on our site, we make that part of our service available to people. And I think it's important for people to do it, because I think that when you're looking at companies to either sell to or invest in, you want to understand, is the risk at that industry that they are competing within, is the risk going up? And the FRISS Risk Index actually is a look at this compared to at the end of 2007, when we were going into the last, crisis. And this crisis was cut short by the central banks of the world going to extreme levels to prevent this crisis from fulfilling what eventually will happen, and that is a complete contraction of debt. And I believe economics contraction on scale around the world. And therefore, we're going to do something which our mothers and fathers have always told us to do, and that's to start to save. Mm-hmm. That's an important ingredient. And so when people save, they don't buy things. And when they don't buy things, when lots of them, so something which is really smart to do individually, when more and more and lots of people start doing that, when you aggregate everybody's saving, it cuts down the demand for products and causes enormous overcapacity all over the world in all kinds of industries.
Sure.
And I want everybody to understand, we're really talking about debt and credit crisis, which is really wild. We have total debt in the United States. That means federal debt, personal debt, and corporate debt. When you add it all up and you take it as a percentage of the gross national product, so that you can get large numbers looking at each other, what you find is the amount of debt today as a percentage of GDP is higher than it was in 1929 in the United States, 1930-31. Mm-hmm. And right now the problem is worse than it was in 2008 when we had the crisis start last time. In other words, after this crisis, it's worse now. They never allowed it to correct correctly, and it's just gotten worse. And therefore, credit is going to be at the forefront of this. And And that's why we have our company, and it's why we built the company to be like a rock of Gibraltar. When we put it together, looking at what we were looking at, we're looking at the economic conditions that we envisioned were going to occur. Like I said, we went ahead and we only built a counter-cyclical company with reoccurring streams of income because we sell on subscription. So 90% of our subscribers renew every year, so that's an important ingredient. Had it be a huge market, I just want people to know that the extension of trade credit, in other words, when you walk into a store and you're going to buy a TV set, you're not walking out of that store unless you pay the store guy $400 in cash, you give him a credit card, or you give him a check. But in business-to-business transactions, Company X sells $500,000 worth of widgets to Company B. Those widgets leave Company A and go to Company B, and then Company A issues a bill. And they say, look, you owe us $500,000, 210 net 30. In other words, you need to pay us in 30 days, and if you pay us in 10 days, we'll give you 2% off the thing, off the bill. So every single transaction, or 99% of all transactions in the B2B world, all over the world, are extensions of trade credit.
So is this why the dollar risk for public companies is so much more dangerous than ones at private companies?
Yes, the risk in public companies, contrary to public opinion, dwarfs the risk in private companies. And I'll tell you the reason why. Most private companies just can't leverage up their balance sheet like a public company can. After all, private companies just don't have certified financials around. To be a public company, you need to have 3 to 5 years worth of certified financials. So lenders require some documentation. So the first thing is just having available the metrics necessary that are certified to get a lender to give you this much dough. Second is these corporations have gone out because interest rates are so low, and they borrowed. Right now we have almost $2 trillion of junk bonds and junk loans against an American GDP of 17 trillion to 18 trillion. So there's 2 trillion of this stuff. And roughly, no matter what, 30 to 50% of that, just historically, of the junk stuff is going to go bankrupt. And so if you have $2 trillion of this junk out there, there's not going to be anything left for creditors. It's just going to be very, very, very ugly, and it's going to be at the public company basis because these are big companies, and it doesn't mean that there will be more public companies bankrupt. After all, there's only 40 or 50,000 public companies around the world. It means that there will be lots of public companies going bankrupt, but they'll be going massively bankrupt because they owe billions and billions of dollars. Mm-hmm. Our Frisk score, which is rated 1 to 10, but we consider high risk really 1 to 4 or 1 to 5, we have over $300 to $400 billion of payables at companies listed as Frisk 1, 2, 3, and 4.
Wow.
It's not going to get paid.
No.
So it's not only the debt guys are going to be in trouble, guys, but it also means trade creditors all over the world are going to be stuck in these public companies. And everybody's looking the other way. Everybody views that the risk is going away, and whatever risk there is in private companies. And it's just the opposite,
mm-hmm.
which is, you know, classic.
My guest today is Jerry Flum. He is the CEO of CreditRiskMonitor.com. His Frisk score is available only at CreditRiskMonitor.com. Jerry, I apologize. I know we're running a little bit long on time here, but in closing, did you have any new information that you would like to get out to our listeners today?
Well, I would like them to take advantage. I can't guarantee it's going to stay on there for free forever, but right now we have a policy in our company to take our Frisk Risk Index and make it available on the site to anybody who wants to look up industries, countries. In other words, one of the things you look at when you look at country data is countries have ways of finessing what they're saying and how they want to present themselves. And all we're looking at is the public companies in that country or in the world or in that community in the Europe, and we aggregate all that stuff and we show you what's the risk at the public companies in those communities or those industries. And you can learn a lot. And one of the things to do is to make sure that where you have investments, that the industry's risk is not increasing like this, because as companies start to go out of business within that industry, the total profitability and cash flow in that industry starts to contract. Because before companies go out of business, they do everything humanly possible to prevent that, which for the most part is cutting prices.
Mm-hmm. Liquidizing assets.
Yes. And so at the end, this is a very important thing for your listener base to take advantage of it. And we are making it free right now. And I think it's an important thing to do.
I definitely agree with that. Go to www.creditriskmonitor.com in order to get that risk score for publicly traded companies. Jerry, it's been a pleasure to have you on the show today on Stock Day. We'd like to check back with you in a couple months to see how things are going. And again, thank you for coming on the show.
Thanks. A pleasure.